Hello, everybody. My name is James Murwa, and welcome to episode 2 of the African Literary Podcast. So I posted the first episode on March 10th, and I've gotten a lot of feedback from many people who've listened and commented on, you know, all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I've got an email, I've got a piece of people, you know, commenting on my blog. Thank you for the feedback. You know, people like, you know, Bwandugi, Mukoma, Edozien, Beverly, Sharon, and a host of others. I've taken it on board and will be incorporating it for future episodes. I have divided this podcast into three distinct sections, starting with this, a new section. There will also be, you know, the book review section where I'll have, you know, have a look at A General Theory of Oblivion by Angolan writer José Eduardo Agualusa. And then the last part will be an interview with Center for Creative Arts acting director Chipo Xu. Enjoy. So let's get into this general news section where we just have a look at everything. We had 2 days dedicated to world literature, and one of them was World Storytelling Day on March 20th and World Poetry on March 21st. There were events happening all over the continent, and we'll be curating them as and when the content comes through. I know there was gigs happening, you know, in Kenya, Uganda. I saw stuff in Malawi, there was Nigeria, there was South Africa. Too much stuff happening. If you have information that you would like to share with my Pan-African audience, please drop me a line so, you know, I can get it part of my information, and let people know what you've been doing. Then there's news for those who love, you know, this movie Black Panther, which is clearly everybody. Nnedi Okorafor, who wrote the most recent iteration of Black Panther, has been commissioned by Marvel Comics to write Wakanda Forever, which, you know, is coming in July. In this three-part series, the favorite characters of Black Panther for many, you know, Okoye, Eyo, Ayo, Aneka. Wait, isn't that Nakia? Well, they leave Wakanda on an adventure that we see them team up with Spider-Man, the X-Men, the Avengers. Man, I'm here for that black girl magic. It's gonna be good. Then there is the African writer series that we all encountered as younger Africans. The series that introduced us to names like Chinua Achebe, Buchi Emecheta, Gogewa Adeyemo, Flora Mwapa, Steve Biko, and Eleki Amadi. I mean, these books, you know, they basically laid the foundation for us writing in English in Africa. And they have been having a problem, we've been having a problem accessing them in the last couple of years because they're out of print, most of them. Well, digital back books have come to the rescue. They've had a deal with Pearson, the current publishers, and now all you need to do is go to digital back books, and you will be able to get your copy of Weep No Child, Things Fall Apart, on other books like that. And if you have a problem remembering, go to jamesmora.com. We have a story about that there. Then of course, we're talking about the legends. There's no one more legendary than David Rubabadiri. He's a guy from Malawi who was a poet, an academic. He was a diplomat and all that. So he was feted by the Malawian people with a ceremony at Blantyre. And we really celebrate this gentleman. Sir, you deserve all the accolades that are thrown your way. And that is the end of our news section. So it's not just the general news. There are segments of news that I really, really am interested in, like literary festivals. And one of the biggest on the continent happened this week, this past week, 11th March to 17th March, Time of the Writer 2018 in Durban, South Africa. I'm still unpacking, what I witnessed at the events. So much, to talk about this festival. Alain Mabankou, who was supposed to be one of the biggest draws of the festival, he ghosted us in Durban. And we were left to survive without his awesomeness, which kind of sucks. I'm hoping he's fine, seeing as I read on Brittle Paper that he resigned from the Kane Prize judging process. I mean, I hope you're okay, Alain. I hope everything's going on okay. Nothing's happening. Yeah. Anyway, so at these festivals, Alain would have probably been the name that we'll all be talking about. But it's there are other artists, and it's difficult to pick our favorite from the ones that actually attended. I mean, we're talking about Le Serol Rampolo Kang, the senior statesman of, poetry in South Africa. We have Mogale Mashego, the new writer with, one novel, comics, and having written for screen. And then it's Adebayo, who is killing it, crushing it with Stay With Me. There's Yewande Omotoso, who has multiple identities, Barbados, Nigeria, South Africa. There was Refilwe Motlhodi. Refilwe Motlhodi. I really, really suffer with these South African names. And she's a children's writer. One of them is How to Say Hello in South Africa. And then there's Themba Gqwabe, who basically has made himself a legend in writing in isiZulu. A lot of people really, really, I love these people featuring at this festival. We had Sizwe Mpofu Walsh, rapping his way into the hearts of everybody who heard him. I mean, this guy is talking about upending the whole South African system, and he's rapping it, and you're loving it. What's not to love? Of course, at a festival like this, you'll ha always have, the artist who, we remember him. Think Badambudzo Moracera, who was famous for his antics when he was still alive. And hey, we got one of them in this festival, Unathi Slasha, who's got this book, Jah Heals. I'm reading it, and it's not bad. And he was the guy who was, on the attack against South African writing and writers, and it was a thing of beauty to watch. I really need to get the videos. I'm waiting for the videos, and you'll see the magic of this young man, who, it was the first festival he'd ever attended, and I hope, it won't be the last, because it was a sight of beauty. And then there's, of course, looking to the future, Hargeisa International Book Fair, which, has been going on for the last 10 years. Announced that they'll be happening from July 21st to 26th this year. And one of the unique things about this festival is that they kind of use it as a way of, of claiming themselves as a country. So they always speak a partner country and say, like, it's Somaliland and that other country, doing it together. In the last couple of years, we've seen South Africa, we've seen Ghana. I went to the one with Nigeria with some of the writers from Nigeria. That was a blast. There's Malawi. The beautiful thing about this festival is you land in Hargeisa, and it blows you away, because every event is filled with, like, people, watching and listening to the people. The panels are in Somali, which means, like, everybody's involved. I loved, like, watching some of the writers giving their books to the, public, giving their books to distributors, and they're given cash on the, they've given cash immediately. Yeah, how much is your book? $10. How many books do you have? 20 books. That's $200. Yeah, give us your money. Yeah, here's your money. It's a really, really good festival. Apart from the fact that, no alcohol, it's a kind of a Muslim country, which sucks, no alcohol. But apart from that, it's a really good festival. So if you are able to make your way to Somaliland in late July, 21st to 26th, I would recommend it. Then there's non-literary festival related news. It's, literary awards, and I've got news for you from two of them. There is the Welcome Literary Award, which none Welcome Literary Award, which we just heard about it a few months ago when Ayobami Adebayo was shortlisted. The award is a prize in all the different genres, and the books have to have a health angle to them. And Adebayo is now on the shortlist for this prize for her book, Stay With Me. I mean, this book is going to win everything, clearly. And it's a very lucrative prize. It's worth like 30,000 bucks, £30,000 for you to win this prize. So we're going in, we're hoping that our girl will win it. Go for it. Go for the literary glory and get that money, girl. And then there's a Brunel Africa Poetry Prize. It's a poetry prize which was started by by Bernardine Evaristo, based in the UK, and she's a professor at Brunel University. And it started a few years ago. And the funny thing is that before this prize showed up, there was no major literary prize for poetry that you could say this is for poets. At least internationally. Locally, we've got Babishai, but that big prize where everybody wants to take part didn't exist until Brunel showed up, and the winner goes with £3,000. And these guys, they introduced us to Warsan Shire and Safia El Hilo. Well, the next class, the next people in the running for this prize were announced a few days ago. We've got two Nigerians, Benga Adeoba and Teresa Lola, one an Ethiopian, Hiwot Adilo, Kenyan Michelle Angwenyi. There's a Sudanese person, Dalia El Hassan, an Egyptian, Nur Hamel, a Somalian, somebody from Somali, Nomtaza Mehri, and Cheswayo Mpanza from Zambia. Yeah, so that's what's been happening. Well, what's going to happen in the next few days? Today, I'm going to focus on book launches. It's hard to talk about book launches because there's so many that happen in the continent. But I'll give you a few that you can attend in the next few days. Damian Jaya, he who has two poetry collections, he launched his second one, A Woman's Body is a Country, in the last couple of days. He's going to be presenting that book at the Goethe Institute in Accra, Ghana on March 28th. Then Nia Ikwe Parks will be in Kampala on March 25th, that Sunday, at the Mackinnon Suites from 6 to 8:30. And then Mpumalanga will be the site of a launch of Nick Mklongo's Soweto Under the Apricot Tree and Zugispa Werner's Hardly Working. So those are the book launches we are looking forward to. If you have any information about launches of books, festivals, and you would like to share them with us so that we share them with our audience, please, my Twitter is open. You slide into my DMs. It's Twitter, it's at James Murua. Instagram, it's at James Murua. Those are the two main ones. Yeah, so that is our more specialized news. And if there's more information, please keep checking jamesmurrah.com in case you want to know what's happening. It's book review time, and I'm currently reading Nick Mklongo's Soweto Under the Apricot Tree, and it looks like he can write short stories. It's really reading well. I'll be reviewing it in future. Today, I really want to focus on A General Theory of Oblivion by Angolan writer José Eduardo Agualusa. Now, this book was originally written in Portuguese and translated into English, and it was the recipient of the Dublin International Literary Award in 2017. I really enjoyed this book. So, I've seen this movie with one protagonist for most of its run, like Tom Hanks in Castaway, or Will Smith in that zombie movie I Am Legend. It's kind of like kind of makes me think of that. This one fo focuses on a Portuguese woman living in Luanda called Ludo, who barricades herself away from society in a penthouse apartment during the anti-colonial movement, when they were fighting for independence and it was nearly getting there. She barricaded herself in her apartment, and she would stay in that brief space for 3 decades. She survived in ways, you have to read the book to really comprehend it. I was really intrigued by this woman, who hated all human company, and whose biggest tragedy was the loss of her dog Phantom. And it's not your typical, that loss wasn't your typical white woman or white people and their dogs type of a scenario. I mean, it was more, I mean, you can feel it because this dog was the only companion she had for in 30 years that she'd been barricaded in that apartment of hers. I mean, apart from Ludo, who is really well designed as a character, he's, wonderful cast of support guys, give the book a needed contrast, like Magna Moreira Monte, the former state agent and detective, Jeremiah Sarasco, the silent sage, who didn't start off very silent sage like, and a few other guys. Now, the thing with purple prose, oh, it's not purple, it's purposeful. There's nothing purple prosy about this one. So, purposeful prose, kick-ass character development, and a to-die-for plot. I'm not surprised that this book won that big award. I'm now actually looking forward to reading more Lucifer literature, and this book tells me that maybe there's some good stuff that I've really been missing out on, and I need to check out. So one of the most consistent recommendations from those who gave me feedback, thanks for that, by the way, to improve this podcast was to give interviews with people in the industry. Because we are all about, giving people what they want. Let's start with this interview of Acting Center for Creative Arts Director Chipo Zhou, who was at the head of the team organizing Time of the Writer this year. She speaks to me on managing the expectations from the first year, Durban as a UNESCO City of Literature, the upcoming Poetry Africa Festival, as well as, she gives tips for those of us who want to set up literary festivals. What do you need to do? What do you need to, have? Enjoy. So I'm here with Chipo Zhou. Is that how you pronounce it?
Sure.
Oh my God. Chipo Zhou, the acting director of the Center for Creative Arts, which organizes the Time of the Writer Festival. And you've only done it this year. This is your first year that you're doing the Time of the Writer.
Yes, this is my first year being a part of the festival.
So you may not have done it before, but the festival has gotten a name out there as one of the biggest festivals on the continent. What was the impression of doing this year?
I mean, it's very difficult to take over the reins on something that has a 20-year-old legacy because you have so much living up to and expectations of growing beyond what it has already come to. And so it was a very challenging experience, but I think having a team that was very passionate and hardworking and that was willing to work towards one goal was very helpful in our ability to deliver the festival this year. And the feedback that I've been getting thus far from people who've attended the festival over the years is that it was great. They loved the lineup. They felt inspired. They felt that they got their money's worth in terms of attending the festival. And they felt like they could engage and relate to the topics that were presented at the festival this year.
So one of the things I noticed about the festival is the children's angle. I mean, this may be the second year that you've actually gone into the community, but I noticed that there was a lot of emphasis on the children and children's literature. Would you speak to that?
Yes, so last year's edition was titled Decolonizing the Book, and when we were looking at how we wanted to move forward with Time of the Writer, we were thinking, what is our current challenge in South Africa? What is the problem that we're facing? And the problem is that you get exposed to literature too late in life, and we thought it would be better if we would start very early, engage the young minds, ensure that they are excited about reading, excited about writing, they are inspired, that they are exposed to the different kinds of books that are out there for them. So you'll find that with this year's theme that we chose, that was changing the narrative. We also had an emphasis on owning our stories as Africans. And so we had authors who write in isiZulu, which is the local language here in KwaZulu-Natal, and stories that are about Black Zulu children. And the idea was to say, hey, Yes, there's a whole world of literature out there that is English and very westernized, but there is literature and there are stories out there that you can relate to, that you are very comfortable with. Stories that you can, that remind you of your grandmother and all the folk stories that you had either growing up at home or when you go to Makaya during the holidays. So we were trying to just see how we can give back and also cultivate, because what you find is the writers that are around today are not going to be there tomorrow. And if we're going to have a sustainable festival or a sustainable industry in this case, you need to start cultivating new voices from a very early age.
Yeah, this is really good. So because of the legacy of the time of the writer, this year Durban is a UNESCO City of Literature. I mean, did you not feel any pressure that, you know, this is the time that this, you know, this is the, you're running a festival during the year that, you know, all the eyes are on Durban?
Yes, yes, there was a lot of pressure. I mean, look, the awarding of the City of Literature was done late last year for the City of Durban. And so this is the first festival. So there were several festivals, Time of the Writer and Poetry Africa, which we host, being two of the major festivals that we used to lobby for this title. And therefore, yes, I mean, you realize this is the first festival, this is UNESCO, all the cities of literature around UNESCO are looking at us and saying, okay, we've awarded the city this title, do they actually deserve it? Can they live up to it? And yes, so it's a lot of pressure, but I think the team really, really pulled through. They worked so very hard, and the writers themselves as well presented themselves in such a way that they fully represented the festival as best as I think I could have imagined.
No, this is really good. And I mean, and now y'all are now looking forward to Poetry Africa. Do you mind me asking you a bit about that? You know, what's the plan for Poetry Africa? How do you pick your delegates, or what's the plan there?
Okay, so what we generally do is we get an external curator who's usually a poet, and then we come up with a theme and we come up with ideas on how we can grow the festival. Last year was very dynamic, very diverse, and we got a lot of positive feedback. We also got a lot of different countries interested in working with us and bringing their writers from the different countries. We've partnered last year with the Alliance Frontieres, who has always been our partner. We also had for the first time the Catalonian Institute on board, and we have three new partners in addition who've already started soliciting us for Poetry Africa this year.
It's a good place to be. Yeah?
It's a good place to be. It really feels great. And that was even before the UNESCO announcement. So I can imagine that the conversations that will start taking place now as we move forward planning for Poetry Africa, I suspect this year will be bigger. I suspect we will be able to reach a whole broader and more diverse caliber of poets than we even had last year.
So I mean, like I'm hearing this story coming out of Durban. You know, there's Poetry Africa, there's a film festival, there's writer Time of a Writer. I mean, what is Durban doing right that many other African cities aren't doing? Because we're not having a lot of stories of African cultural cities. What is Durban doing?
Durban is very culturally rich, but they also take pride in their arts. And I think a big part of it also comes from the involvement of not only the people but the government. And Etiquini Municipality has invested a lot in ensuring that the culture of Durban is preserved, is showcased globally as well. And sadly, in other African countries, you find that governments are not invested. Arts are not at their they are not one of the top priorities, and I think that's the advantage that Durban has, and we're hoping that more can be done from not just government but also to get commercial companies to start seeing the value of investing in the arts.
And the last one is for you as a festival director or as the director of this year, what should Gaborone are about to do their literary festival. What should somebody look out for when they're doing a literary festival like this?
I think they should look out for, the first thing is, who are you having the festival for? Is it for the writers or is it for the audiences? Is it for both? How do you strike that balance? So you need to decide what is your goal? What do you hope to achieve by hosting this festival? And secondly, once you've found exactly what it is you want to achieve, then you know you can just, I think you should go for it. ideas are great. Execution is a whole other ball game. And the first step is, once you've taken the first step, partners come on board later on, people start to recognize your work as you move along, but I think it's important to take that first step. And we encourage Gaborone to go for it, and hopefully we'll be able to attend their book fair later this year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Was that okay?